Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our summer series on the One Another's, and I'm looking forward to this conversation with two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by the Dr. Sean Stover. Sean, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Taylor. Always great to be here.
And we're joined by the one, the only, Mary Dunn. Mary, thanks for being on the podcast, and thanks for your message on Sunday.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
Well, I always like to ask, full disclosure, Mary, put you on the spot right away. I always like to ask the speaker, because this is kind of an open series where you got to pick, you know, Jose asked, and then it was like, you got to kind of pick which one you wanted to pick of the One Another's. There's like 100-something of these.
Yeah.
And so I would love to know, and I'm sure many listening would love to know, what kind of led you to pick this particular One Another that you shared about bearing one another's burdens?
Well, okay, so honest answer. I didn't think I picked it. When I started looking at it, I was like, how did I get this? And so I thought, I didn't pick this. Somebody picked it for me. And so I got a little irritated at Jose going, he gives me this one that has double meaning. And then before I got too far down that road, I went back to my notes, and he had handed me a piece of paper with this list of one another's on it and said, hey, pick one of those. And I looked at the piece of paper, and Galatians 6:2 was circled in pink pen. So I was pretty sure it wasn't Jose. So I had to own that. And so I picked it. And then after I read it, wasn't, you know, super comfortable with it because I hadn't read it like that before. And, but I've told people in the past, and I believe it to be true now, that, God gives the messenger the message they need to learn. And so that's what he did with me on this particular scripture.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the actual message itself. Sean, would love to get your thoughts too on just the Sunday and the message and even this concept of bearing one another's burdens.
Yeah, hearing Mary teach is always a blessing. I told her afterwards, her intentional preparation and her clarity in her communication is powerful. And it's a contrast, I think, to Jose's passion and speed and my slow South Texas hanging out. And, you know, I just think it's great when we get to hear from other voices. And Mary's so great at showing up with a message that makes a difference for many people and is very applicable. So I love that. Even more important for me on Sunday, honestly, is the fact that this verse is significant to me. I did not circle it in pink on your page. I promise it wasn't me. But if I had a handful of life verses, this would be one. I feel like when I was led to be a psychologist and help people, coming alongside people and carrying their burdens was something. This was early in my faith journey, my early 20s. Becoming a counselor, going through grad school, came across this verse, and it really has been something that I've been thinking about for decades, and something that I think it's important, not just for me as a counselor, but for all of us as believers to learn how to carry one another's burdens. So the way Mary unpacked this on Sunday really fleshed out a lot of different avenues where we can come alongside each other.
Yeah, Mary, I loved how you took us on the journey. I love to kind of camp out here even on the podcast, just what God taught you as you prepared, because the same way you shared, okay, there's Galatians 6:2, that means there's a Galatians 6:1, and I think you just did such a great job of bringing in the context, not just even of the passage, but just even the book itself, and kind of what Paul was feeling and experiencing towards the Galatians, and then being able to see that context for this verse, because I think many of us, at least for myself, I've heard that verse many times and not even thought, had a second thought about the context of it, what was kind of the overall spotlight, you know, basis for those statements. Mm. So share maybe just a little bit more about that particular revelation of just as you zoomed out and just saw what God taught you in the midst of that context.
Well, when I went to, you know, first I took 2 by itself and I thought, man, I could come up with 5 points and let's make it a wrap, you know? And then when I read 1, 3, 4, and 5, I thought, there's something else to this. Clearly, there's something else to this. So part of how I prep is I go to many podcasts or sermon series on whatever it is that I'm, you know, been asked to teach. And I listen to different opinions, and I look at different, you know, websites and all those kind of things, and articles and whatever, and then really pray over the distillation of those so that you know, the Lord gives me something different. And when he did that, you know, during that time, I really felt him say, listen, this is a spotlight on sin. And who wants to preach on that, right? Or teach on that? And but really, we're called to look at it all. And so that's kind of how it came to be, is that I just heard a lot of different things, saw a lot of different things, read it in multiple verses, and that's why I used, you know, the Amplified Version as an example, because it was very teased out in that, and it spoke to pride, and again, you know, the Lord gives you a scripture that he wants you to learn. So so that's how that came about. And I just knew that I knew, you know, sometimes you look at it and you say, I can't do the easy thing. Mm. He's not called us to do the easy thing. He's called us to be called up. And I think that more than anything, Taylor, I think, you know, bearing one another's burdens, and I know from a counseling perspective, or I think this is accurate, and Sean, you can speak to this, but I know from a coaching perspective, it's not always calling somebody out as much as it is calling them up. And it's not going to them with any kind of pride. It's going saying, hey, we're standing on parity here. I'm also a sinner. But I want to call you up into what you've been called to, not call you out in a behavior. And so I hope that answers some of the question.
That's really good.
Yeah, I think the two key words in that verse one to that calling up that you're speaking to, it uses the word gently and it uses the word restoration.
Absolutely.
And if those are your approaches to someone who is caught in sin, as the verse says, then it is going to be a calling them up and not a calling them out. You know, if you go toward them harshly, you know, with the attitude of reprimanding them, then that's calling them out. But if you go gently with the heart to restore them, now you're calling them up. And I think that you unpacked that so well. And the reality is we're surrounded by people who are caught in sin, and we're caught in sin right along with them. Mm-hmm. And we all need gentleness and we all need restoration. We all need accountability though. We need to get better at and more comfortable with calling sin, sin.
Absolutely.
And saying that's not where God wants you to go. That's not who he created you to be. That behavior is not in line with what he would want for your life or what you know he's asked you to do with your life. And to the extent that we could do that, we really could get to a different place as a body of believers, but it's going to take boldness and courage to do that. I think the other part of that verse one, and you nailed it, everything you said was completely accurate, but there's also those of us that are, because of other people's sin, we're impacted. And, or, you know, those people out there. And I think the rest of the verses apply in that circumstance too. Somebody, you might be caught in somebody else sinned and it hurt you. It was a trauma that you experienced based on their sin, or a fault in a relationship that you experienced because somebody else's transgression. In the same way, we should carry each other's burdens in that situation too. So I think that there's just so far reaching tentacles to that passage, and you unpack those well.
Absolutely. We talk about, I just love, Mary, the way you roped in sin as a spiritual burden. And we think about the burdens that physical burdens, emotional burdens, financial burdens. Some of my favorite conversations actually with both of y'all offline have to do with missions and providing help to people, particularly whether it's like financial needs or burdens, you know, just how as a church can we come alongside those that are most vulnerable in our community around the world. And something that both of y'all have taught me, and I know there's others in the country that have kind of led in this way, but this idea that helping, you can get to a point where your helping is hurting them. You're actually enabling, you're actually trying to kind of bear all of someone's burdens onto yourself as the savior or the fixer or something like that. So I just thought it was so interesting as we think about sin in that same context, how do we as believers who want to help, and sometimes we get, you know, whether we want it or not, faced with a lot of people's sin around us, how do we even just differentiate between, okay, what's a burden, what's a load, what of this am I called to help someone carry, and what of this is on them to carry in their personal responsibility?
That's a good question. And fortunately or unfortunately, I had an experience just a couple of weeks ago with that. So this is how I delineate it. First of all, I'd like to jump onto something that Sean said. When this verse is talking about sin, it is talking about being snared. Okay, this is not talking about you're walking into it with your eyes open and you're choosing it. This is something that's kind of caught you off guard and got you entrapped in something. And then the second thing I want to point out is that I think I said it, or I tried to say it a couple different ways, is that this verse one is always talking about with an eye towards restoration. So whether it's physical, financial, or emotional, the idea is that we're helping carry somebody's burden with the eye towards they become restored and stand alone. Okay? We don't hold it forever. They financially are restored to being self-sufficient. They are physically restored. The home can be lived in safely, right? So there's a restoration that happens or that needs to happen so that we take our hands off. Okay? So it's a helping, and that can be tricky, you know, with how much we want to help. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a call with somebody who was upset and was looking for me to help them carry this burden, which part of that is just listening to the whole story and listening to all the nuances in the story and saying, I hear you, and I'm sorry that happened to you, or I'm sorry that you're feeling that way, you know, and I can see how that would happen. And so kind of walking them through that. But when it gets to the point where they're like, well, you know, I want you to do this, or, you know, because of who you are, or because of the fact that you know them, or because of all of a sudden it gets shifted and they're looking for me to do something independent of them, that's when I push back and say, that's not mine. You know, that's for you. I'll go with you, but I won't go for you. And so, and you know, sometimes that doesn't sit well because they're looking for somebody to comfort them or protect them, you know, because they're, you know, they fear rejection. I mean, we all go through that too. I mean, you know, I'm very much an adult, and I will say to Paul sometimes, well, I want you to go with me, or I want you to say it, you know, because I know my shortcomings, and I know in conversations, if I'm frustrated or if I'm hurt, I am very capable of, you know, giving the best speech I will ever, regret. And so I think the other thing is that people don't have language around, or they don't have confidence with their language around, how do we step back from what you're talking about? How do we go from carrying their burden to stepping back and just assisting them in carrying their own? And so I think there's some skills around that people lack.
Yeah, there absolutely are. I think you nailed a few of them there. And for me, there's this real need to discern there, because I don't have the ability to carry everybody's burdens in the world. One guy did, and it killed him, and he's our savior. The rest of us don't have the ability to sacrifice at that level, but we do have the ability to come alongside. And that distinguisher, to me, has a lot to do with the initiation and the input that I want from the person I'm trying to help. And sometimes I'm going 90% and they're coming 10. Sometimes I'm going 10% and they're coming 90, but they got to come some. And I'll tell you real practical things. People ask me all the time, say, hey, I know this fellow over here, he needs some counseling. I'll say, well, hand him my phone number and have him contact me. They're like, well, no, I think it'd be better if you reached out to him. I said, no, that's not how it works. Like, they have to take the initiative to reach out. That's just a little simple little formula. And then usually when I'm helping somebody, I'll do it for if it's a counseling session, it's whatever, 50 minutes or an hour and a half, or if it's just an interaction where you're trying to help somebody in any way, financially, emotionally, spiritually, you have that conversation. I give them something to do so that I know they're going to be engaged in the process. And I'm like, hey, spend a few days and do this, and then come back to me 3 days from now and let's huddle back up and let's talk about how to take the next step. Because again, I don't have the ability. Man, I'm full up just with Christina and what she's got going on in her life and my kiddos and what they've got going on. Like I don't need any other dependents on my tax form. But I really want to be better at coming alongside. And here's the other thing that I would say along the same line. Burnout's a real thing when you're helping people. And so the ability to help somebody in that moment when they're across from you and then hand that over to the Lord when they walk away from you is a significant skill that you need to develop. So it's like I'm all in with you in the 30 minutes I'm across from you. And then as soon as that's over, I'm praying to the Lord, Lord, you love them more than I do. You know what's going on. You know how to help them better than I do. Be present for them. And then I move on to the next thing. Like I can't carry what they have for through the rest of my week. So being able to release that is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Our prayer pastor Rhonda Patterson, she actually just last week was reminding me of that. She and her team call it the cleansing prayer, and it's not like a super fancy set of liturgical words, but just that same concept that because the prayer team is hearing heavy stuff from people all the time.
Yeah.
And so Rhonda will tell me, I'm sure she'd say this if she was here, but just there's times where even on the way home, she just notices that she may be carrying some of that she just heard. And so she just reminded me to just, hey, you can just stop right there and just pray and just be like, Lord, I release this to you, and just remind ourselves of the role that we play, I think is big. Mm. I think the other, this just came to mind as we were talking, a small little litmus test for myself is also strangely how I catch myself talking about the way I'm helping carry other people's burdens. And to your point, Mary, about the goal being, reconciliation.
Restoration.
Restoration, thank you. Restoration. And so there's times that I enjoy being the helper. And so it's like, I kind of would just rather keep doing this for the people around me, or, makes me feel important, makes me feel, valued. And so I think it's just even in weird, funny ways where I'll be, almost bragging about myself, or my ego will come up like, oh yeah, I was helping this person the other day, or oh yeah, I just had this. And it's like, that's not the goal, that's not what we're, but even just my flesh can't help, but even in the midst of trying to quote help somebody, I'm over here trying to still get some credit towards it. And so I think that's even a helpful way to be like, is this about me and my ability to help people, or is this truly about trying to help, carry those burdens? So I think that's really big. Okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask both of y'all, because I really do think that y'all model this super well for parents, because this could be a whole loaded conversation that we could even tackle in future messages and series and all that. But as parents, how do you navigate or discern with your adult kids in particular, how you manage kind of carrying their burden, their load? How do you navigate that just on a case-by-case basis? Because I think some parents, they're either on one extreme or the other. So Sean, as the lover of continuums, how do you kind of bridge that gap just as parents to move them towards just restoration?
Yeah. And along the line of what you're asking, I think watching your kids fail is one of the hardest things in the world to do as a parent, and knowing that it's not your job anymore to step in there and carry that for them. Because the whole parenting journey really is a transition from carrying to releasing. And you start out, when they're born, you're carrying 100%. And it's like that the first year. And then, they're toddling around and they're getting where they need to go. And it's down to 95% that you're carrying. And really, the whole parenting journey is a flip to where you get to where you've got a 1% responsibility and they have a 99% response. And that's where you get with the age that my oldest ones are. I'm just their chief encourager. I'm just their cheerleader at this point. And if you think about cheerleaders at a football game, you know what? They have the responsibility to get the crowd excited and, to, have some loud noises going on silent, but they don't get to call any plays or run any plays. And that's how it is as a parent of grown children. But I see a lot of parents want to jump back in there, and it really causes a dynamic that's unhealthy and robs them of the joy of parenting at that age.
Well, we have two adult children, and Paul and I are very different, and so we respond differently to successes and failures in our children's lives, and it's very difficult to see them fail. And Paul has a tendency to, he's big into provide and protect, and sometimes that means and save, provide, protect, and save. And I'm more the one who says, tap the pause, tap the pause, tap the pause. Because a lot of good things can happen in 24 hours if you keep your hands off of it. A lot of good things. And so I think having a good balance of that. I also think a reminder, I've heard parents say, and just recently, well, you know, I'm raising two little boys. And my comment gently with restoration was, no, you have two little boys. That's what you have. You're raising men of God. And that's a different perspective than I'm raising little boys, because we're not raising little boys. You know, we're raising men of God. And so age-appropriate responsibilities and that kind of thing, I think are important. Or I'm, you know, I'm raising little girls. No, you're raising warriors for Christ. And so we teach them as they go, right, to stand on their own. And sometimes all they kind of need is your hand to lean up against, you know, just through a 24-hour period till they get to the other side, you know, not getting invited to homecoming by the guy that they wanted to get invited to homecoming. You know, that seems like it's catastrophic. And, you know, but 15 years later, they can't remember the guy's name, you know. So we have to be careful about how much I think we jump into that. So I would say that.
Yeah, even in that verse that you went over, verses 4 and 5 of that same chapter, do say, you know, each one should carry their own load. And then it says before that, so they can take pride in their own actions. And he's talking about a healthy pride. Like as we grow up, we need to learn to be able to do things on our own and get by on our own, because this healthy pride, like, okay, I have what it takes, comes from that. And that's part of parenting. It's a challenge, though, to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's so good. Okay. So then thinking about someone listening that may be on the other extreme where they don't want to deal with anyone else's mess. They are like, nope, 10 feet away or more. And they kind of struggle to even just relate and carrying anyone's burdens around them, because they may feel, I don't know, there could be a lot of different feelings here of inadequacy, that they've got their own troubles to worry about, that they can't, you know, come into someone else's life. Or maybe it's that pride of just saying, I don't want to deal with that. They deserve that. That's their mess that they got dealt, and I'm just going to focus on myself. How would you encourage someone that's maybe on that extreme where they don't want to carry anyone's burdens?
Well, I got a question about that, or a comment about that, because they're like, you know, how do you approach somebody? Because then they, as a matter of fact, a couple of people say, I go immediately to the verse that says, you know, quit trying to pick a speck out of somebody's eye when you've got a plank in your own, you know. And I said, yeah, but that's not how you approach it, because that's a judgmental thing right there. You approach it by saying, you know, as we said in that verse, I mean, Paul pointed out in verse 1, listen, if somebody, you know, a brother or sister falls into sin, he's talking about everybody, you know. And so we all have a speck in our eye. We all have a plank in our eye. So we go by saying, look, you know, you're not, you know, behaving, or you're not, you know, living according to what you claim. I'm not claiming that, you know, you're sinning. I'm claiming that you told me you claim Christ. And I know that feeling, because I've been there too. So, you know, we're on a level playing field. Let's go together. So for the people who go, well, I've got a plank in my eye, or I've got a speck in my eye, yeah, well, welcome to the family. You know, we all do. So I think leveling that playing field a little bit and not feeling judgmental of yourself and not playing one-upsmanship. And I've heard that this happens occasionally. Somebody will say, well, I've done this. And they say, well, you know, that's nothing, because I've done this, you know. And all of a sudden we're one-upping each other on how much sin, you know, we are wheeling around behind us. And I was like, that's not the goal. You know, it's in the moment, the thing we need to handle in the moment.
I think what Paul wrote in these verses in Galatians and what Mary taught on Sunday all point to the need for our community groups to continue to grow and thrive, because for a person who feels like they don't have anything to offer, or they don't know how they would approach somebody that's in sin and gently restore them, they don't know how they would carry somebody else's burdens, join a community group. And just be there, be a part of it, and allow people to watch how people love each other in community, authentic, biblical, Christian community. And that's what it ends up looking like, because over time, safety is built, over time, trust is built. And then through safety and trust, you have the ability to then do those things that Mary's talking about. You can't approach somebody with about a speck or a plank, and because they've seen you vulnerable at some point in that group already, probably, where you've admitted about your plank or your mm-hmm. like, so you've got that relational equity that allows you to then do the things that Paul's asking in Galatians. But the reality is we have to live in community. You can't just walk up to somebody on the street down here and start applying these verses. That's not going to go very well. But if it's in the context of community and healthy relationship, it's going to work really great, and it's going to lead people further and further down the road in their walk with the Lord. It's going to be a fantastic application of another one of these one another's.
That's so good. That's so cool. As we close, Mary, I'd love to ask both of y'all, really, just this closing question you had for all of us, which is, what does love require of me? I thought it's so fitting, Sean, even you just being here, because you opened up our series on the one another's, looking at how, at the end of the day, all of these have to do with how do we love one another in the best way that Christ has for us. So, Mary, the question that you landed on, what does love require of me? What was so significant about just wanting to challenge us to continue to kind of think and meditate on that?
Because that's a very difficult question, particularly if it's in a difficult moment, right? And what does love require of me here? And sometimes my here is I'm frustrated with, you know, this other person or relationship or whatever. And what does love require of me here? And I want to be careful because, you know, for me, sometimes what love requires of me is for me to step back and say, I'm not in a place to have a productive conversation at this moment, but this is really important to me. So let me process this, and I want to come back and have a better conversation about it. So sometimes what love requires is you take a step back. And I think that's important. What does love require of me here? It's to step into the messy middle. And as I said, or I think I said, sometimes it's easier to write a check or, hitch my trailer, you know, my flatbed up to my car and go help somebody move furniture. Hey, I got you, girl. You know, I'm there with you. But then it's the sin thing. It's just a harder thing. But I think the harder thing is bigger love. And so sometimes we're called into the hard thing, and that's when we're called up into showing big love. And that's the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I like the trailer hitched up, though. Jesus helps. You know you got a friend when they help you move. There's no, doubt about
trucks,
it.
Trucks, trailers, chainsaws, and tacos. Take the taco. Yeah.
This verse is right up my alley. You know I'm a big grace and truth guy, and this is the ultimate grace and truth place. If we're going to carry one another's burdens, and Mary did such a great job of highlighting the fact that we got to bring truth sometimes to sin and truth to things that are unhealthy or inappropriate. And we need to bring grace sometimes that brings gentle restoration, and figuring out that balance is critical. So I hope everybody out there listening works really hard to apply these verses this week.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.